Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We're continuing our study in the book of Revelation. Last week we covered all of chapter 4. And when someone is walking close to God like John was, you get special revelation. The special thing about John was is that he was taken up in the Spirit to heaven and he was allowed to write about it. And this is where we get all the doctrine of heaven. This is where we get a picture of heaven. And it's something that we need to be looking forward to. If you're not looking forward to heaven, there is something wrong with your spiritual condition.
Right.
So, what are you looking forward to? In verses 1 and 3, we see an invitation. We see John seeing the throne of heaven. There's an invitation that a door was open. God always opens a door to those who seek Him. He will give forgiveness. He will grant salvation. He will help us to be sanctified. He will provide His grace. He will provide His mercy. And there was a door that was open and a voice that's heard as sound as a trumpet. Are you listening for the trumpet? The Israelites around Mount Sinai heard a trumpet. They're going to hear a lot of trumpets here in Revelation as we continue to go through this. But we, the church, are listening for that last trump when we'll be changed. And then we'll be forever with the Lord. Are you looking forward for the rapture? That's a promise. We need to be looking forward to that. Its message was a fulfillment of verse 19 of chapter 1. This book is about things which were and is and will be to come. And now we're entering in that phase of the things that are future. These events have not happened yet. They have not happened yet. The audience is anyone that will hear. This vision that John has, he writes it all down. And it goes to the seven churches along with their individual letters. And then we see the throne occupied. You can only see God in the Spirit. You can only see God in the Spirit. And the throne is described as just sparkling and thunders and lightnings and an emerald rainbow and just light emanating from it. You looking forward to that? We will be in God's presence one day. So we see the throne itself. Then there's the things around the throne. There's the 24 elders. They do not represent Israel. They do not represent tribulation saints because those things haven't occurred yet. But what they do represent is us, the redeemed. The redeemed. So the seven spirits. Zechariah chapter 4 verses 1 through 10 talks about the seven pronged lamp candlestick or lampstand being fed by two olive trees, which represents the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 of chapter 1 talks about the Holy Spirit. Seven is God's number of perfection. So we're going to see a lot of sevens now as we go through this. In front of the throne, there's a sea of glass, and we looked at it, just reflects all the glory. Just like in the Holy of Holies, it was just and covered with gold and overlaid with gold. So everything that was in there just reflected glory. Everything in heaven is about God's glory. And everything in heaven reflects God's glory. Folks, we need to get some practice on it right now and reflect God's glory down here. And then there's four beasts. There are four eternally living creatures. You can see a description of them in Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. You can go and look in Isaiah. Everyone who saw a vision in the Old Testament saw beasts similarly described. And these stand before the throne and they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." For eternity. Folks, one day we're going to do that. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to seeing a sea of glass and hearing all these things? Then there's the theme of the throne. There's honor and reverence. The four living creatures give reverence to God. And in response to that, the 24 elders throw down their crowns and worship Him. And then we're going to see tonight that all of heaven is praising Him. They show honor and reverence. It says praise in Psalm 150. It says, let everything that have breath give praise to the Lord. And then in John chapter 4, verse 24, he that's going to worship God must worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. So now we see a scene in heaven. A scene in heaven. This is going to kick off a whole bunch of events. But it has to start somewhere. And it's going to start at the throne. We ask the question, what are we looking forward to? In chapter 5, we see what heaven, all the beings in heaven are looking forward to. In verses 1 and 4 of chapter 5, we see a seven sealed book. Verse 1, it says, and I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? That's coming. Okay. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So, where is it? It is in the right hand of God Almighty, God the Father, who is sitting on the throne. What is it? Well, if you go in back in history, when the Romans made an agreement or a contract, they sealed their things with seven seals. When you conducted a business transaction in the nation of Israel, the process was at least to have three seals on it. And if you had more witnesses, you put more seals on it. When you buy a house, what do you get when you pay it off? Besides the paid in full, you get the deed. You get the deed. This scroll, most people believe, and I believe too, is the title deed to earth. Who holds it right now? God the Father. Who's going to conduct judgment? God the Son. And so when this, we know, because we've been familiar with Revelation, that these seals, as they open the seals, things start to happen. This is written on the inside and on the outside. On the inside are the conditions of the contract, or conditions of the deed. On the outside are things saying, this is the deed. Talking about what it is. So, where is it? God's right hand. What is it? It's a title deed, okay? Who can open it? Well, hang on, okay? Who can open it? So now everybody in heaven is looking at this. And it says here in verse 2, it says, And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. Now, a strong angel, some people think it's Gabriel. Michael came to Daniel. Michael was one who disputed with Satan over Moses' body. Okay, so it could be any of these archangels that you see here. But he proclaims this stuff. And he says, and the condition to open the book is what? Worthiness. Worthiness. So, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? The one to whom the contract is given to. He and he alone is worthy to do this. Now, so we see that supreme worthiness is required, and then the absolute worthlessness of man is revealed here. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth. That is a idiom or a condition that no one else in the universe, no one that you can see, no one that's been in the past, no one that's good enough, no one's good enough. No man can open it. No man can stand before God and live. So it takes supreme worthiness, and we see that there is no man worthy to open the seals. Or not even just that, but to even look upon it. And because there's no one worthy. Heaven is waiting. They see the seven sealed scroll. They see it. It's in the right hand of God. And they're looking for someone to open it. Have you ever seen a gift and you just waited? You just couldn't stop to wait to open it up. Or you got a letter. It may have been a college acceptance letter and you had the right address, right return address. And you go, oh, I just can't wait to open it. There's a sense of anticipation here that I can't possibly convey to you. They're looking at someone to open it. And no one's opening it. And it causes John to do what? Weep. It causes John to weep. You know, we need to want to know God so much that it should just burn inside of us. Remember the two that was walking down the road to Emmaus? And then Christ appears after resurrection. As they're walking down, he starts talking to them about the scripture. And then they say this. They said, how did our heart burn in us when we hear that? All heaven is just yearning to see this book open. I honestly suspect that they know what's going to happen when it happens. It's going to be the end of time in Rome. It's going to be that. So weeping results. I am so glad that we have a Savior. I am so glad that He accepted God's will to die on the cross for our sins. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? Must be saved. No man that started out as man could ever open the book. No man that was born of flesh and blood is worthy in himself to be in the presence of God and to take the sealed book. But there is the God-man. There is Christ. In verses 5 through 7, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. You know, don't you find comfort in the fact that when you're in the deepest despair, there's God? When you don't know what the future holds, there's God. When you're looking for worthiness, there's God. And it says here in verse 5, it says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Amen. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts. Why in the midst of the throne? Because Christ sits on the right hand of God. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came. Aren't you so glad that he came to earth? We would not be here tonight if he did. We would not be looking forward to heaven if he hadn't. All of heaven is waiting for Christ to take the scroll. We should wait and should be in anticipation for Christ to come and redeem us in the end. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. See, supreme worthiness was required. And in verse 6 here it says, weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. See, Christ is worthy in royalty and power as the Lion of the tribe of Judah because way back in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 49 verse 10, you could go to verse 9 and it talks about Jacob blessing his kids. And he said to Judah, he says, Judah is a lion's whelp. And as a strong lion, he reaches and cuts. And then he gets to verse 10, and it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, unto Shiloh come. You know who Shiloh is? That's the Messiah. That's Jesus Christ. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So, Christ is worthy because of his royalty and power as a Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's worthy because he's heir to the throne. Not only just the earthly throne, but to the heavenly throne. As the Root of David, who has prevailed. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says, and when he had removed him, this is Paul talking, it says, he raised him up to them, David, to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. You know, there's only been one man that's ever fulfilled all of God's will. And that's the God-man, Jesus Christ. He hath prevailed. If he did not do all of God's will, we would be in a world of hurt. We would be without hope. Heaven would be without hope because there would be no one worthy to open the book. But Christ fulfilled all of God's will. And he's prevailed. You know, he said that David was a man after God's own heart. You know, we all have the capacity to be a man or a woman or a child after God's own heart. What do you set your heart on? What do you see with your eyes? Where Are you in communion with Him? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Where's your heart? The song says, is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. That worthiness can only come through Christ. Can only come through Christ. In Psalm chapter 110, verse 1, David's writing here. Christ uses this to talk to the Pharisees about his claim that he is the Messiah. He says, the Lord said unto my Lord. See, who is the Lord? God the Father. Who is David's Lord? The Messiah, Jesus Christ. Okay? Scepter will not depart out of what? Judah until what? Shiloh come. And he will gather all of his people. That didn't happen the first time Christ came. It will happen when he returns. It will happen. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Where's the book? Where's the book? God's what hand?
Right hand.
Where does Christ sit?
Right hand.
Right hand. He's in the only position to get the book. He's in the only position to get the book. Simple things. Folks, we need to look at the simple things in our life. And we need to see how God works in the simple things of our life. And then glorify Him for the simple things. Glorify Him for the little things. Because if we glorify Him in the little things, we'll be more prone to glorify Him in the big things too. Are you thankful for Him? So, as heir to the throne, He's royalty and power as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is heir to the throne as the root of David who has prevailed. Go read Matthew chapter 1 and we see that Christ is of the lineage of David on his human daddy side, stepdad side. But you go and you read the book of Luke and you see that Mama was in the line of David too. His worthiness is in the redemption as the Lamb of God. In 1 Peter, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. If you're trying to get religion to get you to heaven, ain't going to work. If you're trying to get ritual to get you to heaven, it's not going to work. If you're trying to get your thought and renewing your body and renewing your mind and changing your life and turning over a new leaf to get you to heaven and doing more good than bad, it's not going to work. You must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The way Christ said it. According to His Word. Not some other book. His Word. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times, last times for you. These are the last times. Do you see Jesus?
Amen.
These are the last times. Do you walk with Jesus? Verse 6. Stood a lamb as it had been what? Slain. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Seven is God's number of perfection. So we see a lion and a lamb. We see God of power and God of humility. We see God of strength and a God of sacrifice. We see it all there. And then the seven spirits and the seven eyes. That makes God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's right there. There's a Trinity right there, even in the appearance of Christ. It's right there. So the Savior accepts the challenge. His work. His work. It was a simple task. Go get the book. There it is. Go get the book. You know, salvation is a simple task. Accept what Christ did. He accepted the challenge for you. You accept the challenge that He gives, the invitation that He gives. It's a simple task. Following God's will is a simple task. You either do it or you don't. He accepted the task. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. So out of the light and the throne and out of the rainbow, there's the right hand and there's the scroll. And then Christ takes it. Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 12. You can go read Daniel 7, 8, 9. That's Daniel is the Old Testament's revelation, really what it is. But in chapter 12, verses 7 and 9, look at this. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. And when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not then, said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed, what? Up and sealed till the time of the end. You know, Daniel saw the book too. He saw the book. That book's been there since the beginning of time because God's eternal. The scene to God is just in a moment. Daniel saw this. He told, write it all down. But then don't say anything about it. Paul went to heaven and he said, wasn't allowed to copy it down. So he accepts the challenge. I am so glad that Christ accepted the challenge that was given to him by the Father. I'm so glad that Christ did the will of his Father. Do you accept God's challenge? Do you accept his will? Heaven's reaction. In verses 8 through 14, we're going to kind of break it down in three little sections here. In verses 8 and 10, it says, and when he had taken the book, he's prevailed! He's prevailed! The four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. You know, God misses nothing. Every prayer we pray, He's heard, and it's stored up. Some people say there's not going to be, you don't need instruments in church. There's instruments in heaven. There ought to be instruments in church. There's harps. Sorry, that's what it says, harps. And what did harps do? It was used in conjunction with prayer. It was used in conjunction with prophecy. Reading the scripture. Praising God. Every one of them had harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers. And they sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Don't you love that Christ can turn your weeping into rejoicing? We need to realize that Christ is all we need. He is the answer to our needs. He is the one that we need to anticipate all the time. And to open the seals, therefore, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There's another song, Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. What have you said for Christ today? We need to say something, at least in church. The four beasts and 24 elders, they worship in verse 8. They worship. Basically, what do? They fall down. That shows some humility. That's an act of humility. When you fall down at somebody, you say, you're more worthy than me. Folks, I think we need to fall down daily before God. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, and I am worthless. Then they had harps. Do you make melody unto the Lord? Verse 9, they praise. You know, praising God is to acknowledge God for who He is. And if we don't talk about God every day, if we don't think about God every day, what does that really tell us about our love for Him? If we're not willing to share, and we're too ashamed to share Him with somebody else, what does that tell us about our commitment to Him? See, we need to think about that. A simple act of taking a book causes all of heaven to rejoice. They've been waiting for it for a long time. Have you been waiting for God to do something in your life? Been praying fervently for it? That's called faith. They see their faith made sight. So there's praise. And in verse 10, there's thankfulness. We need to be thankful for what He's done for us today, but we need to be thankful for what He's going to do for us in the future. He's made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Yep, there will be a 1,000-year reign. Yes, there is a millennium kingdom. Yes, we will reign with Him, no matter what other people say. That's what God's Word says. Because no man's worthy to open the book. So the four beasts and 24 elders, they worship Him, they praise Him, and they're thankful to Him. Verses 11 through 12, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You talk about the national debt. You know, you see all those zeros. This is big. It's a bigger number than the national debt. Okay? God just kind of puts it out here just so we can just kind of try to wrap our mind around this picture of how many angels are doing this. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor, power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. You know, most of the time in our services, we rarely even hear an amen. We must not think much of God's presence down here in this church. Billions billions of angels are crying with a what? They're whispering.
Loud.
They're just mumbling. They're crying with a loud voice. You know, everybody in here right now, shout amen on a count of three. One, two, three. Amen! Can you get the picture here? That's just like 40 of us. Think about this. Heaven's looking forward. What are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to that? You know, we go to a sporting event and there's 50,000 people and everybody cheers. And sometimes you go to a place and they have the little audio meter there. This puppy's going to be pegged for eternity. Okay? Even the hard of hearing will be able to hear it. There's so many of them, you can't count them. There's so many of them, you can't count them. It's basically a number that's incomprehensible. And so, the significance of the number, there's more than you can count. And then there's seven things. Look at verse 12 here. Seven things that makes Christ worthy. Christ is worthy to receive power. He is worth the effort. Christ is worthy to receive riches. He's worth our giving. Christ is worthy with wisdom. We need to consult Him. If He's ever given you wisdom, have you ever thanked Him for it? Have you ever praised Him for it? Fourth, Christ is worthy because of His strength. Christ is worthy and only worthy to receive honor and glory and blessing. Maybe just a few minutes ago, that may have been the first time you said amen in the church. You need to get practice. If you're not practicing now, you're not looking forward to heaven. If you're not practicing now, you're not showing your light before men so they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We need to get busy and start practicing. Because Christ alone is worthy. He's alone worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. See, that's the picture that we need of Christ. He's not the man upstairs. He's the Almighty God.
Amen.
You would be nothing. You are worthless without Him. He is supreme worthiness. Supreme worthiness. And in verses 13 and 14, but there's more. Well, it started with four beasts, four living creatures, and the 24 elders. That's 28. And then it immediately jumps to billions. And then, remember in Romans 8, talks about that all creation groans waiting for the what? Waiting for the redemption. Waiting for the redemption. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. I think that kind of takes in all of the universe. And as such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, whoa! Blessing and honor and glory and power. You know, it's the same message. It's the same praise. We should praise God the same way. Be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and upon unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean to 8 o'clock?
Ever.
That means 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And next Sunday. And next year. Forever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever.
Yeah.
See, heaven's reaction. All creation sings. All creation says, Lord, You alone are worthy of power and glory and blessing and honor. Folks, we need to do that. You know, there's two ways of looking at things. You can look at the glass half empty or you can look at the glass half full. If you look at the glass half full, you're going to basically say, fill me up, Lord. If you look at the glass half empty, you say, well, I'm just going to hang on. I'm going to hold on to this. Folks, we need God to fill us up. We need Him to fill us up. All creation. And then in the end of this, John starts out with a description of the throne in verse 4, in chapter 4. And then he ends chapter 5 with a description, or the throne being the focus. And the four beasts said, Amen. What were they saying amen to? The praise of the angels. The praise of creation. Folks, when we hear someone praise God, it ought to encourage us to say amen. When we hear somebody praise God, it ought to encourage us to praise Him too. You know, we become who we hang out with. Hang out with grumpy people. You'll look like Grumpy of the Seven Dwarfs. Okay? You hang out with happy people, you'll be happy. You hang out with holy people, you'll be holy. You'll hang out with sinful men, you'll be sinful. Who do we hang out with? Who do we hang out with? We need to be refocused on the throne. Will you be there? Will you be there? Only you can answer that question. I hope you will be. I will be. I guarantee you I will be. We need to be guaranteed that. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know if they will be in heaven, Lord, celebrating this scene, Lord, I pray that they would understand that You, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, came as a lamb willing to be sacrificed, slain from the foundation of the world. Came to do Your Father's will. To live a perfect life. To fulfill the law. To be sacrificed on the cross in place of a sinful mankind. That You died. And that You rose again to show that You suffered the consequence of sin, but that You rose victorious over it. And You alone are worthy to receive glory and honor and blessing and power. Lord, I pray that if someone has never asked for Your forgiveness, and ask for the gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray tonight that they would reach out their hand to you. And that they would receive the gift of eternal life. That they would know that they'll be in heaven singing with the angels, singing with creation, seeing you and being in your presence. Lord, for us here, Lord, we're worthless without you. Lord, I pray that you just show us, Lord, and give us grace and give us forgiveness, that we could praise you, that we would say amen to all that you do in our life, that we would see you work, and that it would not be just going through the motions, but that we would be spirit-filled. Lord, help us to dedicate ourselves to you. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you because you and you alone are worthy. You and you alone are Savior. You and you alone are God. Lord, we ask, be with this time of invitation. Cleanse us, God. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.